This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. You know, Mishpucha, about a month or so ago, I went to a one-week seminar on understanding the source of diseases and how to get rid of them. And it was by Henry Wright. And there were a number of things that I'm still pondering a great deal today, because I've been searching to understand healing for as long as I've been a believer, over 30 years now. And for us, they're not supposed to be mysteries, but there are still some mysteries in reference to healing. And God has put within Henry Wright some teaching that in all these years, I've never seen before. He has found that every disease, about 80% of the time, has a common origin. And when you can get at that common origin, you can get rid of the disease. It's just fascinating. But I have to tell you, and I have him on the telephone right now, Henry, I have to tell you, there was one thing that blessed me so much, and it had nothing to do with your seminar. You know what that was?
What was that?
That was going to your church service.
Because
you're doing something that I've been just preaching about. What you are doing is what I believe the church is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a one-man show, except if you call that man the Son of God. It's supposed to be a God experience where each person contributes. But most pastors are afraid, and that's the word, to do what you do. And what he does, Mishpucha, is he has wonderful worship going on that is then, as the Holy Spirit interrupts, so to speak, there's an open microphone, and he actually has people sit in the front couple of rows with a different color card. One card represents a testimony. Another one represents perhaps a teaching or a psalm or a hymn. But Henry, I can see doing this in a little house meeting, but how do you get away with it with a congregation the size of yours?
Well, you have to teach the body how to flow together. And we feel clearly that in a particular time setting of a service that the Holy Spirit can prompt individuals to bring forth information, testimonies, prophecies, doctrine, revelation, that would paint a tremendous picture in a given time period. Almost the same thing as when you read in the New Testament, it says that a prophet gets up and he begins to prophesy, and another prophet sitting by has a more advanced revelation, and he stands up. The first prophet sets down, and the second prophet continues to expound by the Holy Spirit a truth God wants the body to hear. A third prophet standing by or sitting by hears something additional from God. He stands up, second one sets down, and he continues to expound, showing clearly that God can speak in a corporate setting through his people. And I've always been intrigued by that, and I just really felt that if we could understand 1 Corinthians 14 clearly, when you come together, all of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a revelation, have a tongue, have an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying, that God would orchestrate that. The whole church doesn't all end up doing it, but in a service, powerful things happen.
Well, what do you do because it is an open microphone, someone you don't know gets up and shares something that's off the wall? What do you do?
Well, that's a really an exciting thing when that happens.
Oy vey. That's not what most pastors would say, okay?
I mean, there has to be a place of safety in our churches. And a lot of pastors are so afraid that somebody might get up and say something wrong, that somebody might be offended, and they would leave. And
there goes the tithe.
There goes the tithe. There goes the growth of the church. I've had it happen, because when you open up the body, not only does the Holy Spirit show up, but another kingdom sometimes shows up. Or people, as they said, I think the prophet Jeremiah said, there are those that even prophesy out of their own spirits. And so but the Bible says that we're to set back and judge all things. I mean, if we're going to judge angels one day, why can't we judge true doctrine and truth? So it happened last year. A theologian actually came in and had this little thing going, and he got up and oh my, it was really not very good. And so I got up and I said, well, that's interesting. And I really see why you came to that conclusion. But let's just go to the Word and begin to look at the full parameter of revealed truth. And I just began to reveal this and that and the harmony here and there. And we had a Bible study right on the spot so that the sheep could learn and be safe and be convinced in their own hearts.
I have to share one other thing real quickly, Mishpucha. When I was there, it was the most phenomenal God thing, because the first night, there are a lot of people sitting and having dinner before the first session, so my wife and I went to this one-week seminar, and we sat down just at random, so we thought, and it turned out that there was a woman, and she said she was there because she had, I believe it was chronic fatigue syndrome, and for years she's just been confined to limited activity. And her husband said he was there to support his wife. And then we found out that she was Baptist, and he's Jewish, and he's not a believer in the Messiah. Before the week was over, this man publicly proclaimed Jesus as his Messiah. Before the week was over, this man was filled with the Holy Spirit. Before the week was over, this man was water baptized. Before the week was over, at that church service I was talking about, Henry,
yeah,
both of them got up, and they both got what they wanted. She got up and said, well, I really came so my husband could get saved. He got up and said, well, I really came so my wife could get healed. And they both got what they prayed for. Anyway, our time's slipping away, Henry. There is a subject, and this is the thing that I walked away with from your seminar. I've been a believer over 30 years, and there is a keen understanding of the spirit world, a keener understanding I left with than before I came. And let's face it, our battle isn't flesh and blood, and we have to understand it. And there was a teaching that you gave called separation that I just wish everyone in the world could understand. Perhaps right now you'll start teaching about, I feel, the fundamental teaching that you make available. And this alone, in my opinion, is enough for someone to get from where they're stuck to that next point. Please explain what you mean by separation.
Well, I agree. It's probably astounding to those who would listen this week on this program. The understanding of the invisible kingdom ruled by Satan, and what it really is, and where it is, and how it's operating. I know I taught in a world-class missionary organization in Hawaii about a year ago, and of all the teachings I did in that week, the leadership came to me and said, this is the most incredible teaching they've heard in the history of them being believers, because it answered so many questions about the warfare. You know, you've quoted a scripture already in part that says our war or our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. My battle is not with the person who has just victimized me with rage and anger. My battle is with the rage and anger that's manifesting through that person that they allow. My battle is not with my own self-hatred, for example, if I had it, which thank God I've been delivered. But my battle is not with my own fears. My battle is not, with myself, but with what is within me that's manifesting, that I have become one with. Classically, in order to forgive others and be able to, a lot of people ask me, how do you forgive somebody? I mean, look what they did to me. This teaching on separation helps them understand that it, and we'll get into this later in our discussion on separation, but as Paul said, I want to do good, but I don't do it. And the day that I do this evil, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. What do you mean? If he let fear manifest through him, if he allowed guilt and rage or anger or pride to manifest through him, wouldn't that be him doing it? Wouldn't that be just his psychology? Wouldn't that be just maybe he needed inner healing? No, he said it wasn't even him doing it. And when I read that a few years ago, I said, oh my goodness gracious, that wasn't his psychology. That wasn't even him. Now, God, what did Paul mean? And that led me down a journey of study from the book of Genesis all the way through, and boy, did I understand the second heavens.
To digress a little bit, because we'll really get into the teaching tomorrow, we'll start it, but one of my pet peeves is it appears more valuable time is spent on Christian television shows selling vitamins than talking about how to get healed based on what Jesus did for us. It seems as though more is done in a combination of Christian psychology than understanding this concept of spirit, soul, and body and separation that you teach. Why is that, Henry?
Well, we've bought a false security. Many of the teachings of mainline Christianity say that when you're born again, you, except for being oppressed or depressed, that you're immune to a kingdom. It's external, and you no longer have to worry about anything from the kingdom of Satan and that kingdom found in Ephesians chapter 6 we just referenced. And I found that Jesus didn't teach that. Paul didn't teach that. And in nearly over 20 years of ministry on my end, I have discovered that it is not without, but it is accessed us at the spiritual level within.
I hate to do it, but we're out of time, Mishpucha. It promises to be a very life-changing week for you. But you'll need his two audio cassettes on the subject of separation. It's really the missing link that you've been looking for. We're making it available for a donation of $15 or more. The cassettes are called Separation, $15 or more. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzin, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.